Our next speaker will be Prairie W. from D.C. She will speak on service, work, and the program.
I feel so good. Thank you. What a gift. My name is Prairie. I'm an addict. Yeah, thank you, Marshall. You know, sometimes I come to conventions and it's like one thing happens and that's the thing that I just kind of chew on for a while, you know? It happens at meetings too sometimes. It happens sometimes when I'm reading my literature. I see a phrase and I'm like, how the hell did that get in my book? I had this book for so long and I had no idea. I wanted to mention this because you just finished off on some willingness. And my sponsor always had me look in the dictionary because I was like one of those smarter than everybody else addicts who thought she knew what things mean. And I thought I knew what willingness meant. And this is what my dictionary told me. And it was a big, giant fucking surprise. So, willing, disposed or inclined, prepared to act gladly. Gladly, that's the description. Not just willing to, not just prepared to act, but to do it with a whole heart. And to me, that is like, that's something I didn't ever have any experience with until I got into recovery. I feel nervous. I want to start off by saying congratulations, Essence stayed clean for 3 years today. Yeah. And I also want to say that I'm a member who I got clean in April 27th, 1992 is my clean date. And it's like 15 days from now I'm going to be celebrating 22 years clean, and I'm grateful. But I didn't do that. Like, you guys did that, you know? And the people who did service, so that the day that I walked into that rehab with hay in my hair, because, like, I was one of those addicts who decided to do, like, a geographical cure. I moved from, you know, New York to Vermont. I thought maybe those people would be different. Maybe they were, but I sure wasn't. The only thing that was different there was, you know, it was a little harder to get high. Everybody knew who I was because I looked a little different than everybody else in that town, as you might imagine. I hitchhiked to rehab with a farmer in the back of his truck because I didn't have any other way to get there. And the best thing that I got out of that place was a basic tax. It wasn't this one. I gave it away to somebody, but I think state of Vermont got the best thing it ever had paid for with that $10,000 that it paid for my, you know, Medicaid to send me to rehab. It gave me a book, and it sent me home with a meeting list. There was one NA meeting a week within 50 miles of where I lived. Addicts recover. We do. And, you know, the thing about addicts, and it's really what you were talking about, we are so committed. And we bring that with us here, and I'm so glad. It's like really exciting to hear you talk about sort of the progression of changing, you know, through the process of the steps. You know, that's what our sixth and seventh step do. They change us from people who suffer under the yoke of our own misery endlessly into people who are capable of being servants, you know. So I didn't give myself 21 years clean. I have a home group, and I'm grateful to my home group members for being here. You know, I have been a member of NA. This is the place that I got clean, and this is where I stay clean. I've never been one of those people who decided to leave and come back. I'm grateful that NA has been here. Now, that being said, I'm going to tell you the story about my recovery because I feel like this is really close to my face. I'm short. So my topic is supposed to be on service, and I will tell you that when I got out of rehab and I realize I was going to have to hitchhike 50 miles every time I wanted to go to a meeting, that was not going to be the place that I needed to stay clean. So I moved back to New York, and I'm grateful. The area that I got clean in is the ABCD region of NA. It used to be an area, it is now a region. And those people were hard-ass people. They offered me my first sponsor in Albany. Her name was Doreen. She was a wonderful and kind, loving person who couldn't be more different than I was. I always like to have older women as my sponsors. I don't know why. It's like they give me hope, you know? I was 20 when I got clean. I'm going to tell you this. This is silly, but it kind of speaks to the issue of service. So the person that I was when I got clean, I thought I was the wrong absolutely everything. I was 20 years old, so I figured, you know, this might have just been a phase for 12 years, you know. My mom is Native and my dad is Jewish, and they raised me as a Buddhist. So I was pretty sure I was the wrong race, creed, religion, all that. I didn't fit in, you know, with my father's family, and I felt like I didn't match the people on the reservation where my mom is from. But when I walked into NA, oh, and I'm gay, so there was that too, you know. So age, race, sexual identity, creed, religion, or lack of religion, it was all there, yep. And when I came to NA, and this is the thing that really, so when I got to NA, one of the first things I heard, because I did show up in time to hear the readings, you know, what is the Narcotics Anonymous program? It talks about who we are, you know. And I felt, for the first time in my life, like there was a shot for me, you know? And that doesn't happen because a couple addicts had a good idea. Because, you know, we have lots of good ideas. You know, one of our friends in D.C. calls them capers. That's what we end up doing with those good ideas. The good ideas that we have now are inspired by a loving God that we get introduced to through the process of working the steps. So I guess I'll tell you, I was one of those kids that, like, my mom said that I started speaking in full sentences when I was like 9 or 10 months old, and that I have never shut up since. I have always been convinced that, you know, I should be able to think my way through absolutely anything. And that has caused me a great deal of pain and suffering in my life. What I am grateful for is that the program of NA and the people who met me here and who welcomed me said, we don't really care what you think. Brina, we don't really care what you think, but we want you here with us and we want you to be part of this. So they offered me a coffee making position. It was a huge mistake. I make terrible coffee with those big giant urns. I learned how to do it though, you know, and I felt proud, you know. I showed up, that was Wednesday night, it was my home group at the time, Wednesday night in Albany at St. Vincent's Community Center, and I felt like I mattered, not because I was doing something super important, but because I had a key. I hadn't had a key in my whole life, like ever, never, ever. You know, it was a key to a stupid little thing that had like our coffee pot in it and some sugar, you know. It was like not a huge deal, but it felt like a big deal to me. And, you know, so I started to learn about the principle of trust, you know. And when we think about the way that the steps operate, I mean, what they do is they introduce us to reality, which I think you were talking about, getting out of the fantasy and moving into reality. And then they help us and they kind of work with the tradition. So like the first step for me was about not only the admission of my own powerlessness and the fact that I was crazy, but it was also about the acceptance that I was probably going to be like this, you know, an addict, the person who, like, without treatment, I don't mean rehab treatment, I mean this kind of treatment, without help, that my thinking was never going to get better by itself. I had tried to think my way out of every single situation that I found myself thought into, and it never worked. And so the first step is about me accepting the fact that I don't know how to think about things right. My mind doesn't work right. It doesn't work like some other people do, you know? I could hit myself in the head 3 times, and the 4th time I think it should be different this time. And I'm totally convinced, you know. So the first tradition, though, is about unity. And we find unity because we have this shared problem, you know, the shared dilemma of addiction, the shared joy of recovery. And that's the first tradition, is about unity. And so I found myself learning about trust being given a key and a coffee pot. And I started to say yes to things. You know, I had said no to things my whole life. Not ever to the things that I should have said no to, but I said no, you know, no, I don't want to go with you to this prayer service. No, I don't want to, you know, go to school. No, I don't want to finish whatever it is that I started. No, I don't want to iron my fucking clothes. No, I mean, it was like everything was no, no, no. I probably learned that when I was 2, and I never stopped saying it, except about drugs. So in recovery, what I've learned to do is learn how to say yes. You know, and that's really the second step, and the second tradition are both about saying yes. It's like just a little bit of open-mindedness, and I get introduced to this amazing and loving power greater than me, that not only that I have, but that you guys, when we sit down in our business meetings together, and instead of, like, you know, arguing about shit, but maybe we listen to one another, suddenly there's a power that is bigger than me and bigger than you. And strange things begin to happen. Literature gets written. Addicts stop dying. That's what service does. I had a long list of experiences with service. I made myself very unwelcome in many places because I wanted to tell everybody what to do. I got involved in events and activities early in recovery, and that was something that was really fun. I didn't have to have a ton of clean time to do it. I suggest it to anybody who's trying to figure out what to do. And H&I, those two things were the things that I got involved in right when I had like 6 months clean. And they taught me how to show up. They taught me how to be the person that I actually said that I am. You know, it taught me about being responsible. These are things that I needed to learn how to do. I never had a job before I got clean, you know? And now I have a great job, but, like, people ask me all the time, like, you never went to college? I never went to college. No, I did not. How did I get the work that I have? NA taught me how to do the work that I do. It's not because you taught me, like, the specifics of it. It's not like I'm not in counseling or anything like that. But you guys taught me how to show up when I said I would. You taught me how to speak clearly. Sometimes I get nervous. I'm nervous right now. You taught me how to be of service to other human beings, which means that I can look at you in the eye and I can see you for who you are because I know me today. And that is something that we learn through the process of service, sometimes through, you know, battling it out. I'll tell you, here's a good story. So I was one of these people, as I said, who wanted to be in charge of everything. And there are lots of other people like me in NA somehow. And at our area meetings, we got to all sit around the table together, you know. And at our area, we had 92 meetings at the time in one area meeting. And we all thought like I did. I know some stuff. I hadn't looked up the word willingness yet in the dictionary, so I didn't really know what gladly meant, you know. And we got together and we argued, and these were like epic battles. You know, we started area service at 10 or 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings, and we were there until 6, 7 o'clock at night. Epic battles. So here I am. I'm events and activities chair. I'm all excited. I got 2.5 years clean. I think I know some shit. Oh, yes. And somebody else who happens to be my ex-girlfriend also thinks that she knows some stuff, and she's got about the same amount of clean time, and she's chairing public information. And we have a difference of opinion, which played itself out in front of 92 GSRs. What do you think might have happened during that experience? I went in, I was ready to do the epic battle. I knew what to expect. It was going to be 10 hours long, and it was going to be intense. And I had looked up all the reasons that I was right, and I think the Green and Gold had just come out. So I was like, I got the new book, and I can tell you all about what's wrong with what you want to do. And I had it all mapped out. She decided that it was a good opportunity to take my inventory on the area floor. Not just my inventory, but like my sexual inventory. How much fun would that be in front of 92 people? My point is, that wasn't about her, that was about me. Because I walked in there and I wanted to use our spiritual principles as a weapon against a human being who was an addict trying to stay clean. I'm not saying that I deserve that. I'm saying that I set up a dynamic that I ended up having to deal with. And I'll never forget it. I went home. We didn't have cell phones then, so I went home, and I'm like, I called my sponsor. I'm like, oh, I can't believe what she did. And I got the same, you know, thing. Well, what did you think was going to happen? Similar thing. I know, sponsors, man. You guys are like, mess it all up. And it was painful, you know, it was really painful, and I was like dreading. I mean, a month later, I was going to have to go back into this situation and deal with these people, and it was fine, you know. I've eaten crow before that had never, you know, like, it never kept me from getting high, being ashamed, you know, unfortunately. But I didn't want to let it get in the way of me being in recovery. And for me, you know, service work is how I stay clean. It's, you were talking about honoring those who came before us, you know, and we walked in here this morning and I saw all of us beautiful addicts and I thought, these are my people. They look like criminals, you know? And since my home group members think this, you guys have heard this before, but I do think that we're kind of a different animal. We are a breed of a different sort. You know, we had to hide our shit in ways that some other people may not have had to. That creates a kind of deviousness, manipulativeness, not the right word, whatever. You know, it creates a kind of thinking in us that's different. We can see each other right across the room. It was like when I showed up in Vermont, I saw the one other addict, you know, all the way, you know, whatever, 5 miles down the hayfield or something. But we know each other when we see each other, and when we get clean and we learn to be part of this program, not just the fellowship. And I'm going to separate those two. The fellowship is beautiful and it is vitally important, and I cannot stay clean alone, but I can't get well without the program. And so the program is not just the 12 steps, it's the 12 traditions as well. You know, we talk about commitment. You know, commitment, we learn about commitment through the process of having a home group. That was, for me, one of the first places that I learned about it. But that's a spiritual principle that lands everywhere in my life. And you talked about your wife, you know, and like, we learn to actually have relationships here. For me, that was really learned in my relationship with my sponsor. You know, I needed to learn how to be honest with somebody. I needed to learn how to actually, again, show up when I said I was going to, not be doing the shit that I said I wasn't going to be doing. I mean, you know, basic human life that I didn't know anything about. And so commitment is part of service. And service is an expression of commitment. You know, I'm not going to speak for anybody else, but I can tell you that I've been feeling pretty uncomfortable lately because I don't have a service commitment other than being a sponsor to 6 people right now. And for me, that's a big commitment. I meet with them every 2 weeks for an hour, each of them, and we talk in between. So it's a time commitment, and it's a big deal. But I've never in 21 years not had a commitment to my home group or been part of a subcommittee. And I will tell you right now, I attribute the fact that I've been able to stay clean through the humiliation of some of my shit being clean and how I act, you know, through the heartbreak of loss that we experience no matter what or who we are, because life, part of that is loss. You know, but for me, this issue of commitment is a big deal, and it's a big deal for me because I never knew anything about it. And this expression of recovery and the joy that we're able to share with one another is truly, you know, it's limited only by our willingness to show up and be part of the program. I got my time. That's great. I want to just thank you again. I feel like I've got a lot to think about after hearing Marshall and hearing other folks today. And I want to encourage the person who had 30 days clean, you know, if none of this made any sense, just keep coming back. We really need you. I don't know who it was that raised their hand back there, but we welcome you and we need you here. We can't recover alone. So thank you for letting me share. Thank you.